Talk with Sam podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be a pop.
I don't know this till like right now. Seriously.
iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all are listening, we never write this out.
What up? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just Talk with Sam podcast, man. We got a good one for you guys today. My man, very funny stand-up comedian Dan Cummins, calling to the podcast. We jump into it. We talk about his current tour that he's on right now, his album, his most recent album, exclusively on Pandora. It is called Maybe I'm the Problem. And amongst of other things, man, I love having Dan on the podcast. He's welcome back anytime. This was just a great talk. It was just a great talk between two people. And I have been following his work for quite some time. It was pretty cool to actually sit down and talk with him. So we get into that. So I don't want to hold things up even further. So I want to say, your home for everything revolving around the Just Talking with Sam podcast can be found at our website at samshownation.com. Yes, samshownation.com is the home for all things revolving around the podcast. And right there on the homepage at samshownation.com, homepage anchoring promotions page, you can hit that donate button. Hey, look, this podcast has always been a crowdsourced podcast. And whatever you give, we put right back into this podcast to make it a bigger, better, greater podcast. So please go to samshownation.com, hit that donate button, and give, you know, whatever makes you feel like a good person. And I guarantee we'll put this right back into the podcast. But maybe you're thinking, hey, maybe I want a little bit more for the podcast. You can always go to samshownation.com, hit that store link, and you can go to the Just Talk with Sam store. By going to the store, you can get t-shirts, hats, stickers, swag, anything that you need in your daily life to rep the Just Talk with Sam podcast can be found right there at the Just Talk with Sam store. You can show the world how much you love this podcast, and quite honestly, it's like the fourth best way to talk about the podcast. It's a conversation starter. People's going to see a shirt or see a hat, and they're going to be like, hey, what's that? You're going to tell them about the podcast. So there you go. Also, speaking of the podcast itself, you can always go to samshownation.com. You can hit that podcast link. And by hitting the podcast link, you can catch up on all your favorite episodes. You can hear what you missed, and you can see what you got right there, or you compare it. Or we are on different podcast streams as well. That's not one-stop shop. We are currently on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play, good old RSS, and iTunes. Yes, iTunes. And we encourage everyone who listens, they can subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes. Leave a 5-star review. Give us your feedback on what you listen to. Give us a 5-star review. Tell us something we need to improve on the podcast. We would thoroughly encourage, you know, what you guys say. So go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Speaking of the podcast, we got a few sponsors, and we're going to move it along. We'll get right into this podcast because I really want to have this nice conversation with my man Dan Cummins. But the first sponsor is the good folks at MLBShop.com. Yes! All my baseball fans can rejoice, regardless what team you root for. Opening week just happened. We're in the middle of it. Yeah, I guess we're in the middle of it. But yeah, opening week. Maybe you're an Oakland fan. Maybe like me, you're a Tigers fan. You're a Dodgers fan, Cubs fan, Yankees fan, Dodgers fan. Maybe you like them Astros, Mets. You guys all rejoice. And if you go to SamShowNation.com, you hit that current promotions link, you hit the MLB shop, you can catch up on some of all the things they have there. Maybe you want to root for your team and get the best on the field looks. You can get them right there at MLBShop.com. And you may want to hurry, because if you go to SamShowNation.com, you get free shipping on whatever you order with the offer code HOMER. That is H-O-M-E-R at checkout. Homer at checkout gives you free shipping on all styles, on anything that you can get there. Maybe it's banners and flags. Maybe you're a big and tall guy. Maybe you need collectibles. Maybe, you know, they have the special ladies, the lookbook. Be a little fashion forward while root for your team. You can do that. And the best way to do it is go to SamShowNation.com. You hit the MLBShop.com link and put in the offer code HOMER at checkout for free shipping. Hurry up. Opening week is only opening week, and we want you to catch these deals. So one more time, go to SamShowNation.com. Click the MLBShop.com link and get free shipping by doing so, by putting HOMER at checkout. Not to be outdone, one league is starting, the other league is jumping in the playoffs. Yes, NBAStore.com is offering free shipping via SamShowNation.com. If you go to SamShowNation.com and you hit that NBAStore.com link, you can get all your hoops merchandise. Anything. If you're a Cleveland fan, if you're a Pistons fan, if you're a Warriors fan, if you're a Rockets fan, if for some reason you are still a Knicks fan, we got you covered. Go to SamShowNation.com and hit the NBAStore.com link and get free shipping on all orders over $50 by putting in the promo code NBA50 at checkout. Get some of the hardwood classics wear. Get some of the new arrivals and get some playoff friendly. Maybe your team has clinched a playoff berth and they are ready to go to playoffs. You guys can get ready for the playoffs. And they got fresh new spring kicks. Sneakers for the lames. Get your shoes. Get anything that you need at NBA Store via SamShowNation.com. Go to SamShowNation.com. Current promotions link, you click that link, and for a very limited time, you get free shipping on all orders over $50. You just gotta put the promo code NBA50 at checkout. And last and certainly not least, the granddaddy of them all, Amazon.com. Right there at SamShowNation.com, there is an Amazon banner. Please click that Amazon banner, because Amazon has everything from A to Z. And one thing I know my guests would appreciate, if you hit that search bar in Amazon, you go through SamShowNation.com, you click that banner in the search bar, you put in Dan Cummins, you can catch a lot of his comedy right there on Amazon. Catch a special Don't Wake the Bear. You could get some of the albums, Hear This. You could get his Comedy Central stand-up. You could get his other album, Chinese Affection. You could get a lot of stuff from my man Dan Cummins right there at Amazon.com. So please go to Amazon.com, click the link, put in Dan Cummins in the search bar. Actually, one thing we're going to do before we get into this phone call, I want to play a little bit of my man Dan Cummins' comedy. Ooh, that's hard, sir. And then we're going to jump right into this interview. See you in a few.
I just decided to go on a diet. I made that decision immediately after seeing a picture of myself. It was taken from the side when I was not wearing a shirt or sucking in my gut or aware that pictures were being taken. And that's when I realized that my front profile does not match my side profile. Turns out from the front, I look like a dude who lifts weights. From the side, I look like a dude who shouldn't, because it's probably bad for the baby. I blame my fiance. I feel like I get a lot of mixed messages regarding nutrition at home. Like, she likes to lecture me about healthy eating, which would come across a lot more genuine if she didn't also like to constantly bake me delicious treats. Which I guess is different instincts inside of her. Like, part of her wants me to be very healthy so I can live a long time and she doesn't have to die alone. But another part of her wants to fatten me up just enough so that no other woman will ever love me. Right? But it is ridiculous. Like, she'll make me like my favorite cookies. I'll start to eat them and then she'll say mean things to me. She'll be like, Dan, what are you doing? Just stop it. Seriously, how many of those are you going to have today? I was going for all of them. I thought these were delicious cookies. I didn't realize you would bake me shame biscuits and guilt wafers. I tease her, but we get along very well. We don't argue very much. And usually when we do, it's just like communication stuff, which is every relationship. Like our main argument by far is she feels like I don't listen enough to her. And I don't care about that. Like I could definitely, listen more. I could definitely work on more effective listening. And I will when she works on telling better, shorter stories. Like, why is it always a listener's fault? That makes no sense. Like, people love a good story. Human beings throughout history, every culture, have loved to be captivated by a good tale. If someone consistently doesn't love your stories, well, maybe you're no Stephen King, okay? Let's try less details, more action, wrap it up here and there. She's always telling me, she's like, are you even listening to me right now? No, how could I be? You've been talking for 25 minutes straight about some lady at work I've never met having boring problems I don't care about. If this was a channel, I would have changed it 25 minutes ago. I have a 9-year-old son, Kyler. I have a 7-year-old daughter, Monroe. They're great kids. They're happy. They're healthy. They're smart, which is the one thing I would kind of just, just crank down a bit. Like, smart kids are a lot of work. Yeah. Do you have them? Yeah. Yeah. So do you have them? You know. Right? They got a lot of questions. They like activities. Like to go outside. They are rarely, if ever, interested in just quietly laying on the couch and patiently watching an 8-hour Criminal Minds marathon. And that gets old, you know? Sometimes I get jealous when I'm at the food court at the mall or Chuck E. Cheese and I see a couple dumb kids and I think, that's a sweet life right there. Now, sometimes I fantasize about a couple just easily pleased, glossy-eyed little mouth breathers I could just throw in front of a SpongeBob marathon with some string cheese and some juice boxes and carpe diem, the day is mine. My son, he skipped the second grade. When he was 8 years old, he was tested, and we found out that he was reading at a 12th grade level. And I was happy for him, but I was a little sad for me. I think every good parent wants their kids to eventually accomplish things they weren't able to, but I'll tell you this, not when they're 8. Here's what I like about it. I don't know for sure that I read at a 12th grade level. Like, I assume I do, but I've never been tested. And I'm never getting tested now. I'll be emotionally crippled. Like, if I took the same test that he took when he was 8 and he got a 12, what if I took that tomorrow and got like a 5? I'd probably panic, take drastic measures, paint his room with as much lead as I could get my hands on. Now, make sure he eats off aluminum for the rest of his childhood. Says, Dad, why does this fish taste like mercury? Because I gotta narrow the gap, that's why. You'll stop getting mercury fish when you stop knowing that the fish tastes like mercury. Think about that, Professor. Hey, thank you guys so much. That was a lot of fun.
Hello?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, Dan, just keeping it 100. You called right into the podcast. We're right in the middle of this. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me, man.
Oh, man. Hey, you are such a great guest, and I am. The pleasure is all mine because I have been a fan of your comedy for quite some time now. And, I mean, the writing, the producing, the stand-up, that's great. But I guess where I really fell in love with your comedy is way back when you were working at Playboy Radio.
Yeah, at the Playboy Morning Show.
Oh, man. Hold on, wait. I'm getting ahead of myself. Please, before we jump into this interview, everything Dan Cummins, please plug away. Your email address, your website, social media, all of that.
Yeah, man. It's dancummins.tv. And also, I do my podcast, TimeSuckPodcast.com. And on social media, you can just find me, Dan Cummins Comedy, across the social media, Instagram, Facebook, all that. And then Time Stuff Podcast, also across Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff.
Okay. Now, back to what I was saying about Playboy Radio. Like, one is the morning show, I loved it, is because I am, during that time, I am a diehard Opie and Anthony listener.
Oh, okay.
But I worked at a place where some days I didn't get a chance to pick. You get Opie and Anthony one day, somebody else picked Playboy or somebody else, we're in control of different.
Sure.
Yeah, so like I stumbled upon you because how you handled yourself, you were smart, you was funny, and one of the things, and this is not a diss, I want to make this perfectly plain, you did all of that and nobody was there to listen to you. It's Playboy Radio. You were
exactly. No, it was an interesting job. They paid well, but we used to joke all the time working there that eventually, like a fake wall would just open up in the building, and someone would come out and just reveal that the entire thing had been a joke. it was a fake company that he did it for some eccentric billionaire, did the whole thing for his own amusement. No, we constantly joked about having no audience.
No, it's not necessarily no audience, because I was listening, I guess, if you want to take that, but it's just like, like with Playboy Radio, when people hear that, they immediately think about the girls, and they're just...
Oh, yes, and we would joke about that, too, where it's like, nobody, especially when they're watching it on the video version,
right?
No one was watching it for me, and I totally understood. I wouldn't have been watching it for me either.
But you held it together because, and correct me if I'm wrong, some of these young ladies, and I'm not shaming, I'm not putting anyone down, they weren't exactly the sharpest knives in the drawer.
No,
and
they were not.
Then when you're up at that early in the morning, it was like the perfect storm. So, like, a lot of times, it was a lot of you steering the ship. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, for sure. It was totally, my co-host, Andrea, was fantastic, but she didn't want to be involved in the pre-production of any of the segments or anything like that. She wanted to be surprised, wanted to be in the moment, which is great. And then the girls, they just want to look good and get some FaceTime on Playboy, and then there's the producers behind the glass, and then me, it's like my job was to kind of run everything as the show was going, because, it had to end at a certain time. We actually had a break in the middle that we had to end at, so I just had to make sure that everything got moved along, everybody got interviewed who was supposed to be interviewed, and we ended on time. And it was organized chaos every single time.
Okay, and from there, it turned into something else, and then you kind of like, I guess, fell back in love with stand-up. And that's where, like, you already had me in your pocket, but that's when... I gotta be honest, man. Just me, you, and the wall. What made you leave? Like, couldn't that money be a little tempting?
Yeah, I was still doing stand-up on the weekends probably twice a month when I was working at Playboy. But I just realized that it was a sinking ship. I mean, the brand is not doing well. Playboy had its heyday many years before my time there, and it's still around, but everybody working there behind the scenes knew the writing on the wall. There was constant layoffs, behind the scenes, shows getting cut left and right, and so I signed a 2-year contract when I showed up, and I knew a few months into it that I had to have like an exit strategy, so I just saved some money, and then I actually put that money initially into starting off my own show, my own podcast. I mean, kind of the way things work now in the world of social media and podcasts and YouTube and all that, I actually make a better living doing my own show than I did there. So it all worked out.
Alright, and speaking about that, you were just here in Detroit not too long ago, and I got a chance to catch a show at the Magic Bag. Like, one of the things I love, and it's just like, you're on the road now.
Right.
For lack of a better term, are you on tour? Or is it just kind of like a weekend? Well, it's how's
you
it?
Know,
yeah.
You're kind of always on tour, but I am starting to do some, like, more of a proper tour, where it's like, I just had some posters made up and everything. I'm calling it the Flat Earth Tour. And, like, in April, I'll be doing a run of 8 nights in a row, you know, going, or 7 or 8, something like that. Starting in, like, Nashville, I think, and then going down through Alabama and Georgia, Florida, and Texas, 3 nights in Texas. So that's more of, like, a proper tour, where it's, like, more like, kind of like the Magic Bag, rock right. clubs, and small theaters for the most part. But you're kind of, as a comic, most comics I know are just kind of always on tour.
That's why I just asked that question. They're like, yeah, it's sort of like a perpetual, always on tour. That's just how you do it.
Yeah, because that's how you get new material. And that's one thing that, you know, people who aren't big stand-up fans don't really understand. Like a band, you know, it's a very different process for them. They go in the studio. They go, you know, just get together when they're not touring, and they jam out new songs, and they work out new songs, and they get it all going, and then they make an album, and then they promote that album with those songs. But as a comic, you build your songs, so to speak, mm-hmm. during your shows. Like you just work out new material as you're going along. So you're continually in a process of working on new material and, you know, moving old material out of the act, recording old material, putting back, you know, more new stuff. So, yeah, it's just kind of a constantly evolving process.
And speaking of new material, I want to talk about, this is a ham-fisted segue, but your new special, Maybe I'm the Problem, on Pandora.
I would
only like to say, like, because that just came out, so I only imagine right now you're in the rebuilding part, because you just
right.
let... first of all, I loved it. It was awesome.
Thank you.
I really dug it, because myself, I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I see, like, after following your career, like, I see the progression, if you will. Without giving too much away, if you sat back and listened to your last 3 albums, you see the progression and growth. So, yeah, you're right. When you are touring, you're making new stuff because you're having new experiences. So,
right, exactly.
I can only imagine, like, when you go city to city, you're probably not just sitting in your hotel room, just sitting back, just binging out on Netflix. I would imagine you're just exploring, going with the people, right?
Yep, just constantly working on new stuff, working on, you know, new podcast episodes, working on new stand-up. Just kind of constantly working on creating, you know, new content. And now I've done enough stand-up albums, I'm also trying to work on, you know, re-memorizing some of my old kind of bits, because I realized, you know, people, they don't want to just hear the new anymore. Now I've done enough albums where they'd love to hear one track from this album, one track from another. So I'm trying to make it more like a band, a little bit in that sense.
Like a greatest hits tour?
Yeah, you know, we'll do like, you know, 40 minutes of the new stuff, but then close with 15 minutes of the old stuff. You know, do a little give and take.
Okay.
So I'm trying to change the way I do it a little bit. And then, you know, when you're working on recording something new, well, then you got to go all new for a certain amount of shows to kind of get it down. But I've had the pleasure of working with Brian Regan a couple weekends here and there, and I love the way he does his shows, where he does that. He does about 50, 55 minutes new stuff, and then he does a little encore. And for the encore, he does like 10 minutes of the old stuff. And it's fantastic to see his fans, you know, get to hear the bits they kind of fell in love with. So,
and that's really cool. That's interesting, because, like, I want to talk about your album a little bit, because you're being, without giving anything away, but, like, you are one of the first, if not few guys, being totally pushed on, like, platforms like Pandora. I mean, like, most people...
Yeah, yeah.
The thing in vogue is, like, a Netflix or maybe a Hulu or Epic special, but, like, Pandora really took you on their own. Like, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I got really lucky with Pandora, where I didn't even realize I was on Pandora for a while. I thought Pandora was only music. I didn't even know there was comedy stations. And then, you know, the way Pandora works is, you know, their programmers will, you know, put people in maybe some of the more popular comedy stations or whatever initially, but if you don't get the right amount of thumbs ups, you know, it's all about their analytics that way. How many thumbs up are you getting compared to thumbs down? How many skips? All that kind of stuff. And then, you know, basically, like, the better your tracks are rated, the more play you get. And so it was a very kind of natural, organic progression where I ended up talking to them a couple years back. I did a different little Pandora deal with them. And that was when they kind of told me that, you know, that basically I just have a really good rating, where they said that, you know, my first, like, 3-4 albums were some of the best rated albums, and that's what got me spinning a lot in their system, and then just kind of kept going, and man, that was a career saver, because, you know, like, I was in with Comedy Central for a couple years a while back, and I did a couple specials with them, and that was fantastic, but then you reach a point where it becomes less about funny and more about ratings, mm-hmm. And when I did an hour special with them, it just didn't rate the amount they wanted it to rate. Like, it just didn't get the viewership they were hoping for. And so basically, I just fell out of favor with them. And so, you know, if it wasn't for Pandora, I mean, who knows? I might not even be doing stand-up now. You know, I might have, like, you know, stopped selling tickets altogether. And so that really gave me a kind of new life.
But that's what's interesting about it, because, like, I just mentioned, like, you know, having new life on global platforms such as, like, Netflix and stuff like that. But, like, yeah. One of the things that made it cool, I want to say, is because I just talked about how we used to fight over the radio. Now,
right. Guys
at the job can now listen to a straight-up special or, like, oh, that's the guy who made me laugh. And then it's sort of like reverse Netflix, if you will, because
right.
You're listening to it. I mean, you could take it because Netflix, it's convenient because it's at home. But, like, sure. With Pandora and the streaming services, you could take that, you could listen to it at home, you could take it in your car, you could be on the job, you could do this. And now, not just with, now, like, you can essentially jumpstart a fan base.
Right, exactly. No, there's an entirely new way. I mean, that's what Pandora's done for me. It's like people listen to me on their commutes, listen to me in their cubicle with their headphones on. And just, you know, you get to hear track after track, and, you know, they pretty soon they want to come see you live, and it's, and they tell your friends. It's such a cool way to get new fans, and like, that's like the podcast, you know, that's what I realized with podcasts, where at first I was really hesitant to make my podcast more than, like, 40 minutes long. So I'm like, I don't want to take up people's time, but then I realized, no, they want you to take up their time, because commutes are longer than ever.
That's correct.
They're trying to kill 8 hours at work. You know, they got a job that doesn't really use their brain that much, you know, and they can put their headphones on and listen to a podcast, a stand-up album, whatever, and still be able to do their job, and they just want as much content as you can give them. And it's a whole new way to meet fans.
And I'm glad you brought that up, your podcast. I love your podcast because, for starters, you leave this up to the listeners every week. And they give you a topic, and you do your own research, and then
right. You
give your... I look at it almost like one of those old-school book reports you used to get in school.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man, please tell the people about your podcast, Time Suck. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Sam. Yeah, Time Suck is just, you know, one listener to get the topic every week. About every 3 weeks now, I end up doing a bonus episode as well. People vote for those on Instagram. And yeah, and it's all just people email. I mean, God, we probably get 10, 20 different topics emailed to the show every day now. And then they get added to this big list. And now premium listeners can comb through the list and pick them out. But it's all over the map. It can be a serial killer. It can be Jack the Ripper. Or it could be the Stanford Prison Experiments. Or it could be, you know, a certain battle in World War II. Or it could be, you know, how did the Egyptians build the pyramids? It can be, like, anything that's interesting. Being interesting is the only criteria, and what I try and do is do the most research I can. I have a little team now that can help, and we just try to put together the best research we can, and I just try to make that, present the information in the funniest way possible. And just make it fun. Just get, like, a fun association with learning, and I try not to be too partisan and too political, because everything's polarized right now. It's like
right.
Everything's, like, put into, like, liberal camps or conservative camps. I try to give the no BS camp. Like, here's what I think happened in this situation. Here's the facts. This is what it looks like to me, and I hope you enjoyed learning it. And it's been really cool. I've never built fans the way I have since I started Time Stuff. They're just really cool, curious, open-minded people who enjoy learning, but, you know, want a little more spice in their learning. They don't want it to be some dry NPR-type presentation. They don't mind some profanity. They don't mind some, you know, raw kind of commentary thrown in, and it's been a blast.
Now, here's my thing. Is there any subject that you just won't just touch? It's just like, all right, I don't feel like doing that one. Like, is there...
No, but there's some that I'm trying to be really careful with. Like, right now, I'm getting lots of emails for two, actually, different topics, probably the last few months. And one is immigration, and one is gun control. And I've kind of learned from previous episodes. Like, I did a transgender episode a while back. I did one on Pizzagate. And whenever something is inherently political, I just have realized that... I just have to spend more time than I do on, like, a biography, for example, just to make sure that I've thought through my, not arguments, but thought through the presentation and make sure that I'm being fair. Because it's really easy, like on gun control, for example, or immigration, to get very emotional about the topic and then kind of end up pushing an agenda. And that's what I'm trying not to do, because I feel like everybody else in society is doing that.
Now,
I just want to present it. Be like, hey, man, here's the stats. Here's what this study says. Here's what that study says. Here's maybe what I think. I could be wrong. You know, let's talk about it.
And that's very fair that you do this. But one question. As a listener of Time Suck, I really always wanted to know. Do you clear your browser history after the research? Because anyone who gets your laptop or tablet is like, what is this guy doing?
Oh yeah, no. I don't clear my browsers. I probably should. I remember thinking about that. I think I did an episode on ISIS that wasn't very far removed from doing an episode about the dark web. So I'm like, I gotta be on a watch list right now. There's no way I'm not on somebody's radar at the NSA or FBI or something.
Yeah, because I want to keep you safe. Because like, if you look, all right, like just iTunes in general, like. If
right.
I know what the podcast is, but if you go to your iTunes page and you just look at the subjects, like,
right.
Look at the subjects back to back to back to back. If you don't, you totally are on someone's list.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I'm trying to think which episode this was now, but I remember I was in Denver at a Starbucks doing some research, and I remember it was a very crowded Starbucks. Where I only had like one place to sit, and it was my back was to the people in line getting their coffee, and so they could see. There's no way I could kind of hide my computer screen for them. And I was doing some. I'm trying to pull them up my list right now. I was doing some serial killer, I believe. So that would have been I was doing John Wayne Gacy.
Uh-huh.
And so I have all these tabs open of just, you know, pictures of this. He was also dressed up as a clown. So I either have pictures of a creepy dude, serial killer kind of, you know, stuff written on the page, or I have, you know, images of, like, creepy clowns and stuff. And then he had gotten convicted early in his life on a sodomy charge, but it said something about, like, oral sex. So it didn't make sense to me how oral sex could be a sodomy charge. So then I'm looking up the legal definition of sodomy. And, like, I think I Googled, like, how is sodomy defined? And I came up with some big legal page, but it had, like, legal definition of sodomy in, like, huge letters. And so I just remember thinking, like, oh, my God, anybody behind me, all they see on my computer is sodomy, serial killing, and clown. Like, I was the creepiest guy in that coffee shop I saw.
Oh, you're totally on a watch. If you're not on a watch list for what you're doing, you're totally on a watch list in that Starbucks.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I'm sure at least one person glanced over and was like, oh, my God. Like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, they probably just try to wish you away. Like, one of the things... And, like, since we're on the subject of podcasts, you've been making your rounds on other people's podcasts, myself included.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And I have to ask this question because I am a feaster. I rocks with the crab feast. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure this has come up, but I like on the Crab Feast, you told a great story about how you moved from California back home to Idaho and growing up. And I gotta know, this is a 2-part question.
Okay.
Has Chuck started any more fights with you? Any more ruckus coming from Chuck?
No. Chuck is, I'm pretty sure Chuck is terrified of me. Chuck is, Chuck does not hold eye contact with me since that entire incident.
And if you want to know what we're talking about, you got to listen to that episode of the Crab Feast because it was epic. I loved it.
You know, and actually, if for people who sign up, I have this premium kind of version of the podcast now, and what you get with it is it's like $5, but if you do it even just for 1 month, you get a second new stand-up album called Feel the Heat.
Okay.
And I recorded the Chuck story in Portland, Oregon, you know, at a stand-up show, and it's on that album. But it's like this 15-minute tale. But yeah, Chuck, he is still there. He's still there because he tried to sell his house after all that, after this altercation him and I had. And then he wasn't able to sell it. And then when he realized he wasn't able to sell it, then he apologized to me. I just hate him so much. I didn't like the way he apologized. So I still kind of yelled at him even for the apology. And then since then, won't even look at me. Like he just avoids me at all costs. He doesn't even come in his yard anymore.
Really? Like, because my second question.
I kind of freaked him out.
That was my second question. Did he sell the house? But he doesn't come outside anymore?
No, he's hanging out in the back all the time. And I think he's just waiting it out until he can leave. I think I sketched him out a little bit. Because I do realize I can look like a scary human being. And I chose to only show him that side of myself. But, I think I am going to get him to be out. I bet by midsummer he's gone. I bet he'll be gone.
All right, before he leaves, can you do me a personal favor, Dan?
As long as it doesn't get me arrested, yeah.
I don't know. It's going to walk the line. But I don't know how you would do this, but as a personal favor, can you find a way for Chuck to stumble across your browser history?
Oh my God, that would be great. Just to make him that much more scared.
Yes.
I have thought about there's got to be something I could do. There's, I don't know. If any, like I thought about even something as scary as like roadkill. Sometimes there's some roadkill in front of my house every once in a while. Like maybe instead of just, you know, throwing in the garbage, some little squirrel or critter gets hit, I should just like throw those in Chuck's yard.
What about like that'd be cool. What about like accidental mail?
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like because he's your next door neighbor, and we're playing with his browser history. Usually, before you're brought up on charges of anything, sometimes the local police send a nice little hey. You want to come talk to us about this, that, and the third, but think about it. If he stays next door to you, your addresses are off by like one number.
You're right. Exactly. I also thought about like I told my wife, she was like, "You can't do this." But I was like, I don't see how there's any law against just cleaning a rifle, like in view of your neighbor. So it's like I also thought about just like playing with guns on the back porch and just kind of stare at him just to make it that much creepy. Because if I was him, I would want to move that much faster.
But that's the thing, you don't want to activate that like fight or flight thing in him.
Oh, that's true.
Because if you got the guns now, like he feared for his life, you feel like he doesn't have anything else. That's why I feel like nice little conversation of like, or like accidental mail, something that's addressed to you, because you're playing with his own nosiness to see why the cops are even contacting you.
Right. Oh, God.
Or let's think of it like this. He has to be brave enough to give you the mail that is addressed to you that was accidentally sent to his house.
Right. That makes me think of all kinds of possibilities along along those lines.
I don't know why I'm egging this on, but I'm so intrigued by the story.
I could just get like a bunch of hardcore kind of like pornography and put that in an envelope and but have it be slightly open, but addressed to me somehow, and then leave that mailbox. See if they'll walk that over. Just like real kinky stuff, like real crazy stuff.
Oh my God, the possibilities are endless with Chuck because
they are.
Because I'm thinking about it, and like with Chuck, it's like. I've met guys like Chuck before where they're self-absorbed, they're not thinking about you, they're thinking, I take that back, they are thinking about you because you're an obstacle for something for them to do.
Yes, exactly.
And self-absorbed, now I've heard your comedy, but self-absorbed people really bug the shit out of me.
Yep, and the world is full of so many of them, and I feel like it's gotten worse. You know, because of social media and everything, where one of the bad parts of it is everybody is always in their little world, and they don't realize. It's like they forget that, you know, that they're actually also out in the public world. Because like in their brain, somehow they're just on their Facebook feed or they're on their Instagram feed or whatever, but they're not doing it from their house. They're doing it at the movie theater. They're doing it, you know, like out on the sidewalk, and they're not paying attention to where they're walking. And it's just all those little irritations. Yeah, just so selfish, so selfish. And I was raised so differently than that. But because it's so easy to be courteous. Yeah, it drives me crazy, selfish people.
Yeah, it's a golden rule. Treat how you want to be treated, man.
Right, exactly, man. You know, it doesn't take anything just to say please, thank you, excuse me. And people find it so refreshing. I always have the best conversations with Uber drivers. Travel around the country,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like they're just so like hungry to talk to a passenger who is just not a jerk, you know, somebody who's just not completely ignoring them or just being rude to them, you know. And it's sad, you know. I have a reputation in comedy clubs, and I only say this because it's been said to me a bunch of times, of being a nice guy, which kind of makes me sad because I don't see myself as being that nice at the comedy clubs. I just don't try to be a jerk, but like the bar is so low that just by being polite, I'm like a breath of fresh air, apparently.
Like, give me an example. What do you mean? Because, I mean, like, maybe this is my Midwestern naivete or whatever, but, you know, like, little stuff, like, say hi or how you doing, or, like, you see someone doing something, you give them 2 minutes before you bum rush them with whatever your demand
is. Right.
I'm curious, what is your examples?
Well, a lot of people don't. I mean, apparently, like, that's just what I do. I like what you're saying. I just try to be courteous. But I guess I hear from, like, wait, you know, comedy club wait staff things. But, you know, a lot of comics coming through, they just very demanding, very rude, you know, don't address people unless they just kind of need something, and then kind of bark at them, complain about, you know, stuff all the time. Just rude. Just, you know, just the way they carry themselves. Just rude people. Don't tip them. Don't thank them. You know, just like they're just there to serve them for the weekend or whatever.
Like I'm very big on that. Like even if you are not my waiter or waitress, and I necessarily don't leave you a tip because you're not my waiter or waitress, I will say excuse me, thank you. Like one thing I go out of my way to do when it's time to tip.
Right.
I do not do it on my card if I can. If I can avoid it. Like what I do, I take the cash and give it to that one specific waiter or waitress that was helping me and say like, hey, I don't want you guys to divvy it up. I don't know if it's some backstage politics. I don't know. But I want to have that. Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of people, you know, sadly a lot of people don't think that way. I don't know. They just and I don't know why they don't. I don't really get it. You know, I feel like there's a lot of people. I don't know. Maybe I noticed this in LA more, but there's a lot of people who know they know how to be nice. They know how to do those things, and it's clear to me they do because if it's someone who could like help their career or they think it's socially important, they'll be nice to those people and they'll go out of their way to be nice to those people. But if it's somebody they feel is like beneath them socially. Or somebody who can't, you know, help them get ahead in any way, it's like those people just don't exist to them. That's, you know, I see it all the time. Like, I meet a comic who would be super nice to the headliner, but rude to everybody else.
That's crazy. Like, Like, it's backwards.
Yeah.
Because I'm the guy who would be nice to everyone, and like the headliner or something, I'm not going to be a dick, but I'm just going to be like, all right, respect. I'm pretty much going to stay out of that person's way, if that makes sense.
Right, right. Yep, me too, man. Me too. And, you know, I feel like, you know, you and I were probably just, you know, raised correctly, and a lot of people just aren't, you know. And that is what I see as a parent now. In my kid's school, you see these kids who are having, you know, being problems in the classroom, and you're like, what is this kid's deal? And then you meet their parents, and you're like, oh, ah, okay, that is that kid's deal.
Yeah.
You know, that kid is getting no instruction at home. You know, they have a parent who's, you know, just as rude as they are in the classroom. Like, oh, okay, that's, you know, if you're raised like that, I guess you just don't know any different in a sense.
Right, and you brought up the parenting question. And I think this is my last question, because I got to let you go. I understand I may have exceeded my time, but...
No, it's fun talking to you.
Okay, no, like, as a parent, and I'm a fan of your comedy, has that come up where the kids are now starting to look at your stuff on YouTube, or, like, hear the weird stories? Like, all right, for starters, if you just Google your name, your Comedy Central, the storytelling show, that comes up. That's like one of the first things that come up.
Doing acid, No, for sure. I have to be aware of that. Well, actually, on my last album, I had a really funny bit I wanted to do about my daughter, and my wife was like, no. She's like, there's no way you can do that. She's like, Monroe's in age now where, you know, kids are aware of you, and kids tease each other, and it was a weird thing she had done kind of in the puberty space, and she was like, nope. She's like, I was doing jokes about Kyler, but, you know, she just, you know, reminded me that boys tease each other in a different way than girls tease each other. And no joke is just, like, worth possibly, you know, ruining her socially for years. So I have to think about that stuff now. I have to think about, like, if my kid's friends heard this, how is that going to affect my kids? And I also have to think about the parents, too. Like, there's some, you know, jokes I'm doing about the classroom where I don't care if the parent that I don't like is able to kind of figure out that I probably am talking about them.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're not somebody I'm interested in having a social relationship with, but I also don't want to just to give them a bunch of evidence to sue me. You know, I don't want to make it. Chuck, I didn't change his name, and that's why I put that track on a secret album, because that's just funny to me.
Like, the flip side with Chuck, and I only imagine the other way, if they, the people, do they feel embarrassed? Now, Chuck, we could put him, he's in the world all his own.
Right.
But,
right.
Like, other, like, let's say your wife or your mom, your auntie, or whoever, they listen to that and they're just like, oh, man. They're like that weird thing where you're embarrassed on someone else's behalf. Have you ever had anything like that?
My mom gets embarrassed on my behalf. My mom, she's embarrassed by a lot of the things I've said on stage. And like the drug story you referenced, I mean, she hates that. She hates that's out there. But I look at it like, out of respect for my mom, I won't make fun of my mom in certain ways because I don't want to, like, humiliate her. But when I'm talking about me, then I don't care what she thinks. I'm gonna say whatever I want to say about me. But I do try to be respectful of, like, you know, with my wife, I'll joke with her, but I'll also ask her, like, are you sure this is okay for me to do? You know, and then she can give it the green light, or she can say, no, that's too much. But when it comes to my own personal stories, anything's game.
Okay. All right, but Dan, thank you so much for just calling into the podcast, man. This has been a treat. We can't have this just end just right here. You got to come back. But before you leave, please plug all things Dan Cummins. Where can they find you? Social media one more time.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Thank you so much, Sam. They can find me at dancummins.tv, all the tour dates, and then timesuckpodcast.com, all the podcast information. And it's just timesuckpodcast on social media, and then Dan Cummins Comedy on social media for all the stand-up stuff. They can Google me.
I bet they can. When they Google you, they go find something. But but thanks so much, Dan, for calling in.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
Bye.
There's probably not a day that doesn't go by where in a moment I don't at least wish death upon one person. Usually customer service interactions. So painful. Just, I can't handle it. I have no patience. And I feel like I have low expectations. I'm like, just do your job. Just do your job. That's all I want. Like a couple weeks ago, I wanted to kill smoothie guy at the smoothie stand. Because for me, this is a no-brainer. Like, I have the amount of money needed to purchase a smoothie. I know what smoothie I would like, and I have the ability to communicate this to this person. He has the ability to take my money and make my smoothie and give me my change. Let's just do it, buddy. But he's not doing it. He's not doing it because he's preoccupied with a personal phone call at work. On his cell phone, he's talking to his friend. I hate that, just ignoring me. And I hate it because it's never an emergency. It's never a call he had to take. You never overhear something like, what?
Are you serious? My mom is dead?
In that situation, you gotta wait. I know that. 3-4 minutes? I don't know what protocol is. I do know eventually you are gonna remember that you're still thirsty. And guess who's not thirsty, you guys? His mom, because she's fucking dead. Okay? Strawberry goodness is the last thing she is worried about. I'm not quite that bad, but I'm close. This guy, he finally noticed me after a minute trying to stare a hole into the side of his face. And I expect him to do the decent thing people do in that situation. And they hang up. They're like, hey, man, I got to call you back. And they apologize. So what can I get you? No. He kicks it up to a new level of douchedom I had not even considered as a possibility for him to do. He just continues talking full volume like I'm bothering him at his house. Walks over to the counter. And then when he gets to me, tilts his phone so he doesn't bother his precious friend and whispers so his friend can't hear. Just, can I get you anything? Dead. That's the moment. Just craziness. It's cycling around in my mind like a maniac. But like most of us, I thought a bunch of horrible things, but then did nothing. Actually, it was embarrassing what I did. When he whispered, somehow he like Jedi mind tricked me into whispering my order back to him. Truly hating myself as I'm whispering. Just, can I just have a strawberry smoothie? I just want like a small strawberry smoothie. Why didn't I do anything? Because it's not like he was a big guy. He was a little tiny guy. I could have destroyed him. I just don't feel like the police will understand. Prison. Prison keeps me from doing a lot of crazy shit, you guys. Just knowing that it's out there waiting for me to snap. Like if I would have just smashed his face and the police show up and he's laying in a pool of his own blood, I don't think they're going to be cool with my explanation of, he whispered to me! I want a strawberry smoothie! I don't think they're going to be like, sir, it's okay, sir. Sir, get his body out of here. John, get the body out of here so he doesn't have to see him anymore. I am so sorry that he whispered to you. We are going to give you a punch card, fully punched. We're going to give you a fully punched punch card. John, get him out of here, goddammit! No one will whisper to you ever again. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, prison keeps me from doing stuff like that. Prison and the knowledge that fantasizing about violence is way more fun than real violence, because I've experienced both, and it tends to work out a little better in my mind. Because in my mind, my enemies all have one thing in common, very important thing. They know nothing about self-defense. And here, glorious one-sided violence, just like a cartoon action movie. Like, I knew exactly what I wanted to do in my mind. I wanted to grab, on his phone while he's hanging, I wanted to grab the back of it and just smash his face and bounce it. Magic, like, I don't even know if you could do that. But, like, I want to bounce his face up. Maybe he gets a little lift, lifts his feet a little bit, drops down. I do a fist pump. Fuck yeah! High five a stranger. Victory lap. I take over the smoothie stand, make free smoothies for, like, 2 hours. And celebrate. Just gloriousness is going on up here. But I didn't act on it because I know in real life that plan would fall apart. Maybe 2 seconds. Probably stage one. Probably all would happen is I would just go to reach for him, and like a normal person, he would just step back. And then he'd be like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know. Fist bump. Can I please have a strawberry smoothie?
And there you go. That was a great talk with my man Dan Cummins. A little bit more of his comedy. And please check my man out. Please go to his website at Dan Cummins TV. Yes, that is Dan Cummins TV. Check him out on Instagram at Dan Cummins Comedy or on Twitter at D_Cummins. He is coming to a city near you, and you can check out those dates right there on his social media and his website. I want to thank Dan for calling into the podcast because that was pretty cool. We learned a lot. We learned about Chuck, and I encourage anyone to go to his website, check out the extended Chuck story, or if you've been a cheapo, you can catch our good friends at the Crab Feast, Jay Larson, you know, he was on the podcast, and Ryan Sickler, who, you know, we reached out to him. Ryan, if you're listening, you are all welcome on the podcast. He tells abridged version of the Chuck story on his appearance on the Crab Feast podcast. So, as always, I want to thank you guys for listening. Dan was just amazing for calling in. We learned a lot about the Time Suck podcast. And, yeah, where we're talking about podcasts, maybe we should check out Dan's podcast. It's called Time Suck. Trust me, you would dig it. Anything from paranormal, conspiracy theories, nothing is off limits to this guy. Serial killers, he will do the homework for you, and then he'll give you his report on it on the Time Suck podcast. But speaking of podcasts, I want to wrap it up. Everything related to the Just Talk with Sam podcast can be found at samshownation.com. Everything that you need is right there regarding the podcast. You can catch us on our social, whether that be Facebook or Instagram. That is Just Talk with Sam. No G in talking. Just Talk with Sam on Facebook and Instagram. Oh, on Gmail as well. If you got questions, comments, concerns, whatever, you just want to send us a mail, you can always hit us up at the podcast Gmail account. That is Just Talk with Sam. No G in talking. Just Talk with Sam at gmail.com. And always, you can catch me on Twitter at SamShow11. One thing I want to close out with, I've been rocking with Dan Cummins for a while, but one of his favorite bits that always got me is the one we're going to play out right here. And it's on the album. It's called The Voicemail. We're going to play this bit, and we're going to end this podcast. As always, thank you guys for tuning in, and I will see you next week. Peace out.
I don't want you to feel like I'm just picking on her randomly or just making this stuff up. I don't do that. I want to play voicemail for you to show you what I'm talking about. I love her, but my God. This particular voicemail I'm going to talk about, she is leaving me a message about a dinner that she is going to that I am not going to, that she's already told me about at least 5 times. So my interest in this subject, pretty low. Pretty rock bottom. She's going with this guy named Brad, just the two of them. Normally, I wouldn't like that. I'm out of town. She's going to dinner with some other dude, but I've met Brad. He's a nice guy. He's a coworker. He's married, a couple kids. And this probably shouldn't be important, but it's very important to me. When I met Brad, I realized immediately that he's a lot shorter than me, and he has less hair, and he's weaker looking physically. I knew that I would destroy him in a physical battle. He's a small, waifish man with an especially skinny neck. And I remember that neck detail because when I saw him, I had a weird fantasy that if he wasn't paying attention and I got a running start, I thought I could probably punch his head off his neck. like a dandelion kind of thing. And that gives me great comfort. And they can have girls' night whenever they want, you know? So here's the voicemail I get.
Hey, baby, it's just me. It's 4:40 and...
Okay, we're only 4 seconds in, but I want to address a few things. So far, you've heard 2 things, and I like to think that as reasonable adults, you can agree that both of them were completely unnecessary. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but she's definitely, definitely wasted, objectively, 4 seconds of my life so far. For sure. Hey, baby, it's just me. Yeah, sure is. You know, incredibly, I knew that before ever listening to this voicemail, because you left it on what's referred to as a cell phone, where your name is assigned to each and every voicemail you leave. That name is currently in the favorites section. We're going to reevaluate that. We're going to rethink that. And you're right, it's exactly 4:40, because that's what time the voicemail says, because all of them are timestamped since the beginning of voicemail technology. So, great job. 2 for 2 on facts. 100% accuracy so far on things I don't care about. And she gets into it.
I am starting to drive to have dinner with Brad. I'm supposed to meet him at 5. And I feel like I'm going to get there until like 5:15. But we're just going to a place called El Torito Grill in Sherman Oaks. Because we're both coming off the 405. But in opposite directions. So.
I've heard this voicemail a lot of times and it still legitimately upsets me. Why would I possibly care how Brad is getting to a dinner I'm not going to? Am I going to be relieved knowing Brad's route to this dinner? He is. He is taking the 405. Oh, thank Christ. Thank Christ. I didn't want to say anything, but I couldn't sleep last night. I couldn't sleep. I just kept laying there, just tossing and turning, just thinking, how the fuck is Brad getting to dinner tomorrow? I hope he takes the 405, because that's definitely the best route. I don't care. I don't care. I would only care if his journey was amazing and significant and a good piece of story. You know, like, definitely tell me if it's something like, hey, babe, Brad and I are going to dinner, as I've told you, but he was able to pick up a couple nuclear-powered jetpacks. And a friend of his opened a rift in the space-time continuum. And we are going to have dinner in New Orleans in 1873. And I'd be like, you are full of shit, but thank you for that. Thank you for making that bearable. I appreciate that effort. Yeah, no, it's not done.
I can't imagine that I'll be that lost. Like, we have a lot to catch up on, but I don't think out that late. And I mean, I don't want to be, but I definitely want to be out late enough that I don't sit in traffic or be close.
I'm not going to play you the rest because it goes on for quite some time, and I can tell that some of you are getting genuinely irritated yourselves. I do love Lindsay, by the way. I just feel like I love her the most when she's sound asleep. So pretty. So pretty. So quiet.
This episode is brought to you by Playapod, the best cross-platform podcast app for iOS and Android. Just visit playapod.com and download it for free.